Good evening, guys. If you haven't met before, my name's Sam, and I am vibrating a little bit, but Chaz is going to sort that, so we're all good. Just before we start, just want to get something out of the way. I'm coming up here with a bit of a cold, and Hannah will tell you that if I've got a cold, I'm going to milk it for all it's worth. So can I just get a bit of an R just for me beforehand? Thank you. Okay, I just need that. And also just to warn you, when I have a cold, I tend to, you know, I get a bit nasal and my lisp comes on a bit more. So if by the end I can't pronounce like any vowels or any S's, then don't worry about it. Just fill in the blanks. We'll be fine. But it is so good. It's not so good, Alan. I've got a cold, I'll be honest. But it is so good. We're having an amazing series where we are looking at some of those basic fundamental questions of faith. And we're asking, do we really understand quite how good they are? Because actually, thinking about this series and looking back to last summer, I remember running around in Bristol, people dancing in fountains, hugging your neighbours, chanting, singing Sweet Caroline. Good times never seemed so good because our team had won a football game. And I was there with the best of them. It was so good, but it got me thinking, Alan. I love it, but I might have to like do a cue thing when I want call back, because otherwise you guys at the back might not be able to hear, but there's like an echo at the moment. Whenever I say so good, Alan says, yeah. But it got me thinking, how come our perception of the world around us, even in really difficult times, can be so changed by our football team winning a game that we say life is so good, and our behavior changes, that we change the way we act. And yet when it comes to faith, that actually if we believed what it says in the Bible, this should be the most incredibly good news. And yet, often it doesn't change our perception all that much. And if we're honest, how much difference does it make to how we behave? Do we go around saying, we have good news, this is amazing, the stuff that we know about God and how much he loves us? And so what we're doing is going back to some of those basic, fundamental questions. And if you've been around for a while, if you grew up in church, then you might think, oh, I know this stuff, I know the basics, I've done this before. But we want to ask the question, do we really know it? Can we really grasp just how amazing God is and his love for us? So, to do that today, last week Philip looked at the story of the prodigal son, and we're looking at God's character, asking how amazing is God? And we saw that the younger son runs off and squanders his inheritance, and then comes back expecting just to kind of get, it at best, a gentle welcome from the father, back as a hired servant. But we know that God is so, so good that he greets him with grace and with love. And actually that younger son, Philip told us, has a grace encounter where he realizes just how much he is loved. Now, the older son in the story, Philip explained, needs to have a slightly different encounter. The father goes out and says to the older son, look, why are you not back in the party with everyone else now that your brother's come home? And the father has to tell him some truth, that everything I have is yours, that I love you, that I've always been with you. And that is a truth encounter for the son, where he realizes and learns, or we hope he does, we don't know, some real truth about God. And so for the next 2 weeks, I think probably for a lot of us, this might be a bit more of a truth encounter than the grace. Hopefully we get both, but the aim here is just to dig in and ask some questions. Can we understand the truth of the good news? We're going to look at, over the next 2 weeks, what actually is the gospel. What is the gospel, the good news? Now, I know if I ask everyone in this room, you might get a whole bunch of different answers. Maybe if you're new to faith, you might have kind of a vague idea. Maybe you've been around for a while, you might think, yeah, I know what the gospel is, of course I do. But then actually, when it comes to defining it, when it comes to giving a simple answer, sometimes we're a little bit confused. I think this can be the way a lot in our life, that we kind of, we think we know what faith's about, we think we've got an idea of it, but have we truly, fully grasped it? I wonder if we kind of took all our average answers and put them into an algorithm, into a computer, and said, give us Metro's definition of what the gospel, what the good news is. We might get something kind of like this. The gospel is that even though we fall short, God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. So now we can have eternal life with him after death. Now, all this stuff is good. It's so good. It's good stuff. There is God. The gospel is that God loves us. God really, really loves you. The gospel is that Jesus came to die for us. The gospel is that we can have life eternal with him. But I want to suggest to you today that actually it's so much more than this. I think the gospel is bigger than you think it is. I think it's actually so much bigger. And often what we do is, because we don't fully grasp it, because we don't fully understand it, we can kind of shrink it down, reduce it. We kind of have a vague idea, but actually it's so much more than we think it is. And so what we're going to do today is just look and ask the question, what is the gospel that Jesus preached? What is the message that Jesus gave when he went out and told people about the good news? Because this is what a lot of Jesus' life was spent doing. There's four autobiographies of Jesus' life, and in all of them, we see him going out, and it says he's proclaiming the good news, or another way of saying the gospel. There's an example in Matthew. It's dotted all over, but here's one where it says, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Again, we see another one in Mark. This is like the first chapter of Mark, which might be the first gospel ever written, the first biography of Jesus' life ever written. And what does Mark start with? He starts by telling us that after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So what is Jesus actually teaching us? What was he telling people? What was this good news they had for the people that he was speaking to? Well, if we look at the word, the New Testament, and Jesus spoke in Greek. So this word, good news, that we see coming up over and over again, is a word, euangelion. You'll turn to the person next to you, say euangelion. Lovely. So much great Greek going on. Euangelion. It's a word, it kind of breaks into two halves. Eu, which means good, or in other uses, royal. And then angelion, which you can translate as message or announcement. So it's good news, a royal announcement. And this word, it might not mean very much to us today. But actually, in Jesus' day, this word packed a real punch. And so what I want to ask the question is, when Jesus is speaking about the good news, the euangelion, what were the people that he was speaking to hearing? Because if we understand what they're hearing, we might get a better picture of actually what the good news is for us. And there's two groups, really, that Jesus is speaking to here. He's speaking to a bunch of Romans in the Roman Empire, and he's also speaking to the Israelites, who are the people that we kind of follow throughout the Bible. And so first of all, what would the Romans hear when they hear the word euangelion? Now, we're going to go on a bit of a history lesson here. Stay with me, I promise you. Stick with it, it's all worthwhile. But I want to give you a bit of context into what the Romans, what world they were living in, what they would have been hearing when Jesus was speaking. You see, the Romans, at this time of Jesus, when Jesus was around, were in a time of recovering from chaos and war. That's the world that Jesus is speaking into. So a guy called Julius Caesar, you might recognize him from his salad. He was emperor for a long time, and then he got stabbed in the back, both metaphorically and physically. And the guys that stabbed in the back decided they wanted to run the Roman Empire. However, he had an heir that he had chosen, a guy called Augustus. And so there was this big civil war, basically, between Augustus and the guys that killed Julius Caesar, and then a guy called Mark Antony and Cleopatra got involved. Basically, it got real messy. And for decades, there was these wars going on, factions. The Roman Empire was split into chaos. It was messy. And then eventually, Augustus, who is this guy here, looking powerful and marble, he comes in and he wins the wars and he unites the Roman empires. He conquers everybody else and he unites the Roman empires to bring a time of peace. And in order to tell the whole Roman Empire that they were now living in a time of peace, he sent out something called the Priene Calendar Inscription. And I'm going to read you a little bit of it. I told you it's history. It says this: through his appearance, Caesar, that's Caesar Augusta, has exceeded the hopes of all former good news. It's that word again. Euangelion. He's exceeded all the good news that came before. For the world, the birthday of the god, that's Caesar again, he calls himself a god, which is, you know, a ballsy move. The birthday of the god Caesar was the beginning of his good news, his euangelion. And so the Romans that were living in this time, they have this word, euangelion, that they've seen that would have been used, a royal announcement that's inscripted here, but used all over to say that Caesar used to say, I, as Caesar, because I'm so good, because I'm so powerful, because I win wars, I have brought you a time of peace and harmony. And it's into this world that Jesus comes. And he comes proclaiming his own euangelia, his own good news. And so when the Romans hear it, when Jesus arrives on the scene and says, I bring good news, the Romans, they don't hear for us what we might hear when we hear the gospel. For them, immediately they're thinking empire, power, rulers. Jesus is speaking the language of kings and rulers. He's saying, it's a challenge almost, to Caesar Augusta and the Roman Empire. He's saying, look, I have good news. Not only do I have good news, but this good news is bigger than you think. Because actually, it's about peace from chaos, but not through winning wars, not from defeating my enemies in battle and conflict, but through love and through the power of forgiveness, and through the power of reconciliation, and through my ability to bring everyone back together under God. He says to the Romans, I have good news for you, that I am bringing something, that I have a good royal announcement, that there is peace, but it's better than you thought. This is what the Romans hear when they hear Jesus talking about good news. Okay, let's go on to the other group that Jesus is speaking to. Stick with me here. We're looking at the Israelites. So the Israelites that Jesus is speaking to, their context is a little bit different. They're living under oppression and exile. So they were once a nation with their own kings and rulers, but they've now kind of come under the power of other superpowers, and they're now living in exile in the Roman Empire, desperate to get out from under the boot of the Romans. And so this is their context that they're speaking into. And just like the Romans, when they hear Jesus say, I bring you good news, euangelion, they think of emperors and peace and war. For the Israelites, they have a different reaction. See, the Israelites' history is also long, and we see it charted in the Old Testament part of the Bible, which is written in a different language, Hebrew. But throughout this, we again see this language of kings and rulers. And this idea that somehow there's good news, there's a royal announcement that goes along with it. So you can read a couple of examples of this. There's one in 2 Samuel where King David is on the throne, Israel are at war, and news comes back to David that the Israelites has won, and so he gets to stay on the throne as king. And it says this: then the Cushite, the messenger, arrived and said, my lord, hear the good news. The Lord has vindicated you today by delivering you from the hand of all who rose up against you. And again, we go on and we see this story over and over again. The Bible in the Old Testament says that good news is a royal announcement about who is on the throne, about who is king. And Israel have a succession of really bad kings that mean they get, like I said, overthrown by superpowers. And they end up kind of in the wilderness as exiles. And so a bunch of prophets come and say, look, there's going to be a time coming when you have a king again. There's going to be a time coming when you're not ruled and oppressed, but you get to be free. And there's an example of this. A guy called Isaiah comes and he says this. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Now, this is, like I said, not written in Greek. It's written in a different language, Hebrew. So it's not euangelion anymore. It's the word besir or besora. But it means a very similar thing, that there is a royal announcement that there's a king coming who's going to be totally different, who's going to take us out from under the boot of empire, who's going to set us free. And so when Jesus is speaking to the Israelite people, their sensor goes off and they hear the word good news. And immediately for them, they're thinking of, again, he's talking about that thing that we've been waiting for. This king who's going to come, who he'll set us free. This king who's going to lead us as a mighty army to overthrow the Roman Empire and to come to a time of freedom. But again, Jesus comes and he says, I bring good news, but it's bigger than you think. Don't shrink it down to a military operation. This is freedom from oppression, but it looks totally different. I'm going to free you as a people, and you're going to have a king again, but it's not just going to be a human king on a throne. It's going to be a king that rules in heavenly places, that has power that goes beyond anything that a human can wield. Jesus comes and he brings this message of the gospel, the good news. But it's so much bigger than the Romans and the Israelites thought. They think small, and he says, no, this is a royal announcement. A king is coming, but it's even better than you thought. Now, I get that. That's a lot of history. That probably might seem a little bit irrelevant. Why do we need to know about the Israelites and the Romans and all that sort of stuff? But I think it's helpful to ask the question, to bring it back now to today. Because if Jesus is speaking to Israelites and Romans about kings and empires and emperors, what does that matter to us today? What on earth is the good news that Jesus is speaking about for us today? Because actually, probably most of us in the room, we think about kings and queens, and it doesn't mean a whole lot to us. Like, we get from the queen, we get a nice speech on Christmas Day, get some bank holidays, buzzing for those, get some royal weddings, get some scandals. Not a whole lot, really, that we get from having, like, she's great, God bless Lizzie, but we're not getting, like, you don't, if Prince Charles comes to the throne, none of us really, if we're honest, are going to be running around the harbour side saying, euangelion, beser, good news, a new king is on the throne. Like, we don't really think about kings and queens this way anymore. So what's Jesus really saying? Or even more so, probably for us today, actually, the idea of having a new person rule over us probably isn't good news at all. I know there's a few Americans here today, and I know you guys really don't like the idea of kings and queens ruling over you, so you'll get this more than anybody. But we kind of rail against that idea. We don't like the idea of saying, actually, you know, it all depends. The good news is about who rules over us. And that's because if the Romans, their world was kind of chaos and war, and if the Israelites, their world, their concerns were oppression and exile, for us, probably, actually, today, our concerns, the big cultural things that we're thinking about, are a bit more about self-determination and individualism. Now, long words, this is what I mean, self-determination. I get to choose what I do. I'm my own king. I'm king of my own castle, queen of my own castle, and you get to do what you do, I do what I do. And that is a huge value for us in kind of the modern West, that actually, 21st century Bristol, no one should be able to tell me what to do. I'm my own boss. You know, I can decide how I live my life. I do me. And actually, that goes hand in hand with the other big concern of individualism, that actually, you know, you do you, I'll do me, we'll keep it to us. You know, as long as, you know, I'll do my thing, you do your thing, don't worry about it. And we live pretty individual lives where actually it's a high value to be able to say, not only do I get to choose who rules me and who makes decisions for me, but I also get to choose to keep that to myself. And that's just my thing. And I think that is why our gospel can sometimes be quite a bit smaller. For Jesus, when he came and he said to the Israelites and the Romans, there is good news, they saw the scale of that. That's like he's saying there's good news and it affects everything. It affects empires and kingdoms and rulers. Actually, for us in our world where it's more about me, myself, and I, that gets reflected in what we believe the gospel is. That we start to think of it more as, and again, this stuff is all good, but we put the emphasis more on God loves me, Jesus died for me, and I get to go to heaven once I've died. And that's, you know, that's good stuff, but it's not the full picture. That's quite an individualistic, self-determined view of the gospel. Next week, we're actually going to look at what does the gospel mean for you as an individual, because I believe it will totally change every single person in this room's life. It is powerful for each individual person, but it's bigger than we think. Jesus, when he came and he proclaimed the good news, is speaking about kingdoms and powers and things that shape and change society and history and empires and the world itself. And yet we have kind of made it more of just it's my thing. And so it's no wonder that actually when it comes to sharing faith, it can be a bit take it or leave it, because actually, you know what, it's my thing and it doesn't really change anything else. I enjoy following my faith, but you do you as well. And it's not a surprise, actually, that when we see the challenges like we have in the world at the moment, when we look at the news, it can feel like, does my faith really have anything to say to that? Because we've kind of shrunk the gospel down into an individual thing. And so when you see wars break out, you say, I don't really know what the good news has to say to that. I don't know what difference it makes to people living in Ukraine that Jesus loves me and I get to go to heaven. Actually, Jesus came and he showed us something different. You see, the Bible tells us since Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden, when humans first turned away from God, that the world itself has been ruled by powers of evil and darkness. There's a passage in 1 John that says this: we know that we are children of God. So we know that we're children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And we don't like, again, in our modern society, we're not that comfortable with these ideas of the world being controlled by evil forces. But honestly, look at the news and tell me that there aren't evil forces at play at the moment. You can look at any subject you want and see the darkness all around us. And so here's why the good news matters. Because when Jesus came and said, I have good news, he was preaching to more than just me. He was preaching about a whole change in the way that we view the world. He says, let's go back to those passages again that we looked at earlier. So Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. The next one again. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. What is the good news? It's this. It's bigger than you think. The good news is bigger than you think. It's actually a whole new world order. It's a whole new way of seeing the world that says the world is ruled by powers of darkness, but when Jesus came, he said, I'm bringing a kingdom of love. That actually I'm bringing something that I'm coming into this world saying there's good news, there's a kingdom coming, and it looks different from all the evil and darkness around you. It looks different from wars, it looks different from inequality, it looks different from an injustice. I'm bringing you good news that God's kingdom is here, and it's a whole new way of being. And he showed us that in the way he lived. So he when the world said, because of the way we do things, we decide that we don't eat with prostitutes. We don't walk with tax collectors. We don't sit with the sick and the marginalized. Jesus said, in my kingdom, in God's kingdom, where Jesus is king, I bring good news. God's kingdom is here. And that means that we sit with those that no one else will. That means that the sick are healed. That means that those who are down and out, we lift up. That means that the peaceful, that the meek, that the oppressed are lifted up. That means that the oppressors, that the rulers, that the want to do evil are pushed down. This is the good news of God's kingdom, that his is not just about me and myself. He said it's so much bigger than that. It is a whole new way of existing. My kingdom is here. Jesus is king. He says in his, like, it's his manifesto of the kingdom, he says in the Sermon on the Mount. It's an amazing passage where he basically says, this is what it looks like. And he tells us that the blessed are the meek, blessed are the persecuted, blessed are the oppressed, that actually the people that you used to think were the bottom of society, they're the top, that the last will be first and the first will be last. And this is such good news, because honestly, I get so disheartened. I watched a video yesterday of a Ukrainian man putting his kid and his wife onto a train, saying goodbye to them and then going to fight in a war, not knowing if he would ever see them again. And if my gospel is just a message that I'm okay, and it's got no impact on the world around me, and it's got no impact to change situations like that, then it's just too small. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said there is good news that God's kingdom is here. And when his kingdom's here, that means the sick are healed. That means there's peace that doesn't come through empires and emperors winning wars, but comes through love and reconciliation. That means that the oppressed and the exiles are lifted up, not through a king that wins military battles, but through love and reconciliation. That means that for each one of us, no matter who we are, we get to be part of a kingdom that looks so different to the darkness we see all around us. And that's good news. And so, the challenge for us today is big, because actually we live in a world that's self-deterministic, that says, I want to be my own boss. I don't want a king. And that's individualistic, that says, this is just for me. And so the challenge for you today is, will you overcome that urge to say it's just about what I want and say, no, God said there's a king and his name is Jesus, and so I say I want to follow him because I believe that his kingdom is good news. And that might be a huge challenge. You might be here and this is your first time ever in a church, and this is a whole lot to take in. And so this isn't something you have to decide today, but I just want to say that choosing to say I follow Jesus and I lay down my life and I say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I want to follow Jesus, that's the best thing you could ever do. And secondly, in a world that's individualistic, can we say this is more than just about me? I choose to follow Jesus because I believe his good news is good news for everyone, for the whole world, no matter what situation we're in, no matter how dark it is. The good news is bigger than you think. It's a whole new world order, a new way of being. Next week, we're going to look at what it looks like for us as individuals, the change that can come in our lives. But this week, I think it's so important to recognize that the picture is so much bigger, that in a world that we're living in at the moment, we need to know just how big the gospel is. I know Steve and Amber talking earlier about the workplace. You know, you get to bring the gospel into the workplace. You get to bring the good news into the workplace when you say, other people might lie and twist the truth to try and seal the deal. Actually, I'm choosing to walk in an ethical way. People might gossip about co-workers. Actually, I'm choosing to bring the good news here, to extend God's kingdom here and live differently. It looks, bringing God's kingdom, actually, it looks like, for us, you know, the reason we do Metro Prayer on Sundays is not because we like to get together and pray. It's because we believe that when we do that, we're joining God and saying, God, would you bring your kingdom here? Would you bring your love and your justice here into these places of darkness? We all have an opportunity to be part of doing exactly what Jesus did, proclaiming good news. So I'm going to finish up with our big idea, and then I'd love to pray for all of us. The big idea is this, that the good news is bigger than you think. It isn't just salvation for individuals, as amazing as that is, but a whole new world order. Should we stand? And I'd love to pray for you guys. And the band are going to come back up as well. But I want to pray because actually, I believe that if we're going to live this stuff out, that it requires more than just gritting our teeth. It's more than just saying, you know, I'd like to make a difference. Actually, we need to choose again to say, if Jesus is my king, I want to be part of building his kingdom. Now, if you're here and this is new to you, just enjoy yourself, relax. This is a minute to just, you know, to have a little think, to wonder about the week ahead. But for the rest of us who we say, actually, you know what, I believe in this stuff, then I'd love to pray for you and see it as a bit of a commissioning to be people that are bringing good news wherever we go. So just in your own hearts, I'm gonna pray for you now, and then we're going to go into a time of worship. Yeah, God, I thank you that you bring good news that changes us as individuals, that brings freedom and healing and salvation to us as individuals, but it doesn't stop there. And that God, you want to bring good news that changes everything. And so Lord, I just pray for each person here who wants to take on this challenge, who wants to take on that commission to be a bringer of good news. I want to pray for everyone here that they would be someone who, everywhere they go, you use them to bring the gospel, to bring the good news. I pray for those of us who feel inadequate, who feel like, what difference am I actually making? God, I pray that you would give us a sense of the boldness and the authority that you give us. And God, I pray that this week we would see your kingdom at hand through us. God, that we would see situations around us changing. In your name, amen.